We continue our celebration of Pascha. You can tell we're still wearing white, and you can see the Paschal candle still burning on the holy table there, to remind us that the resurrection of Jesus was not simply an historical event 2,000 years ago. While it was that, what is more important is what it did for the early church and still does for us today, which is why we still, 2,000 years later, continue to celebrate and proclaim the resurrection now. Christ is risen. Notice we do not say, Christ was risen. Christ is risen. He is risen. Because we are now in the day of the resurrection. Ever since the day He rose, we are in one eternal day, awaiting simply His return. What do we do in the meantime with what He has given us? We heard in the Gospel today, and in the Epistle, we heard the same theme of ministry. Please make sure you take a bulletin home, at least one per household. Make sure you read the Epistle and Gospel today with your family. And on the back, the diocese has provided for us a very nice discussion of how we serve in the church. What does it mean to have a ministry? You know that the priest serves in the liturgy. We have others here as well. A deacon we are blessed with today, and other servers. They're called servers or servants. When the priest celebrates the liturgy, as it's called in the West, celebrates liturgy. In the East, we call this the priest serves the liturgy. Serves the liturgy. We are all here gathered together at the service of the liturgy. Now, the role of service does not end with the priest or the deacon or the other servers. These names, of course, you remember in the old days, you may have heard the names. Diakonos. Diakonos means servant, table waiter. Modern English, waiter, busboy, the guy who takes care of the tables. And that's his job, to help the priest and the rest get the holy meal together. And outside of the liturgy, to help those outside of the liturgy to live their life comfortably in various social works and to preach the gospel and things like that. In the midst of the liturgy, the deacon and the other servers, acolyte, you may have heard that word acolyte, just means it's a Greek word for the one who follows. He follows along the deacon and the priest and helps out. Subdeacon as well. Subdeacon is the one who helps out the deacon. These are all servants in the midst of the liturgy. But how do you serve? How do we all serve? In the end, our service is all the same. We all gather here in this building to praise the Lord and thank Him for what He has given us. Count your blessings. You might say, Abuna, you know, things actually at work aren't going so well right now, and we've got some repairs on the house we have to do, and my children aren't, you know, at school there's a problem. Who knows? Count your blessings. We are in a country here. We live in an incredible freedom to worship the Lord. Does any of you fear this building being blown up right now? Are any of you worried about a car bomb driving in or someone running in here and blowing the whole place up, including ourselves? Anyone fear that right now? Not going to happen here. Could happen someday, but it's not going to happen here in Los Gatos, California. But there are people right now who are being persecuted for their faith in Syria, in Egypt, in Jordan, Lebanon, Jerusalem, Palestine, everywhere. Iraq, all over the Middle East, there are Christians right now dying for the faith as we speak. As we sit here and worry about, I don't know about my job and what my next promotion might be. Come on. We live in incredible wealth and freedom. The poorest in this country live like kings in other countries. The poor in this country, what happens if you get too poor and you can't pay your bills? Oh, the government gives you a welfare check, unemployment check, provides housing, some food stamps for you, if you choose to apply. If you want to get work, the government helps you find a job, even will provide housing for you. There is nobody who will go hungry or be unsheltered in this country unless they choose so. What incredible wealth, incredible blessings we have. Incredible wealth and blessings. You get sick, what do? Oh, you go to the doctor. Oh, I don't have an appointment. Oh, I'll go to the urgent care down the street. What if the urgent care is closed? Well, I'll go to the emergency room. If you can't drive, well, just call. Someone comes and picks me up in an ambulance and takes me there. Incredible! There are hospitals on every corner, urgent cares, doctors falling over themselves to help you, nurses all over the place. Incredible what we have. Count your blessings. So what do we do with what God has given us in this wonderful wealth? It is very easy to sit back and forget our calling. Our calling, my calling, your calling, the deacon, the servant, everyone calling, it's all the same. Jesus told his disciples, not just his apostles, his disciples, go out and proclaim to the nations the good news. We are called to do that every day. How do we do this? Very easy. First and foremost, every Christian, first and foremost, if they are bodily able, gathers together with the other Christians in the community on Sunday to praise and thank God and receive the words of the Lord again, hear them again, and to receive His body and blood again. It's like going to the filling station. Okay, every now and then you're a little low on gas or you need a little tune-up, right? That's what Sunday is. It's going to the Jiffy Lube, going to the filling station. Every Sunday you are refreshed, renewed, as if you were baptized into Christ again. A new creation in Jesus. We hear His Word, we meditate upon it, and then we're able, being refreshed in that memory, to go out this week and share what we heard in the Gospel and the Epistle with those at work, in our neighborhood, our family, on the phone, everywhere. Our children, our parents. We are able to be the mouthpiece of Jesus here on earth, sharing the gospel and the good news. And we also receive His body and blood. Why do we do this? Because we are members of His body. By virtue of our baptism, our chrismation, and having received our first Holy Communion, we are fully incorporated into the body of Christ. But sometimes, as you know, like your car getting a little low on gas, you kind of don't sometimes feel like that. And so we come every Sunday, and again we receive His body and blood. And we are refreshed, we are renewed, rejuvenated in that, so that when we go out into the world, we can be the body and blood of Jesus to our children, to our parents, to our neighbors, and in the workplace. How do we do that? Just by being Jesus. What do you mean, be Jesus? You are Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you've rejected your baptism. By virtue of your baptism, chrismation, and reception of the Holy Eucharist, you have become members of the body of Christ. His hands, His feet, His eyes. We are Jesus Christ, the body of Christ in this world until He returns. So that's a high calling. Of course it's a high calling. How do we do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit that we received in chrismation. That's how we do it. Not by my own power, my own energy, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. How so? How can we? What do we do in the workplace that could preach the gospel? Have you ever met someone who's depressed? Have you ever met someone who's hurting? Have you ever met someone who's lonely? Do you know someone in your neighborhood, an elderly individual who can't leave their home and needs someone to visit them, at least on Sunday afternoon? Do you know anybody at work who is lonely, depressed, going through trials and tribulations? These are the people in need. You go and you visit them. You sit with them. Spend time with them. What do you say? Don't worry about it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will give you words when you have need. In the meantime, in between these evangelical events, how do we continue to preach the gospel? By the way we live our life. In the workplace, are we using profanities with the mouth that was given to us to praise God? Or are we different? So that our neighbors in the workplace, in the cubicle next, or wherever, they know, that guy, he's a Christian. That guy's a Christian. Don't use that language around him. Don't offend him. Do we wear our cross hanging from our neck? There are places right now where Christians cannot do that. How many stories have you maybe heard? If you don't, you should listen to them. Of Christians, especially in Egypt right now. Christians, Muslim will walk up and rip the cross right off of them. You can wear your cross daily. Jesus says, pick up your cross, take it, and follow me. How easy it is for us in this country to wear a beautiful cross outside of our shirt. And people will see that cross and know that guy's a Christian. It will also remind you, as you look down and see it, well, that's right, I got to act like a Christian too. David Clayton was telling me about how just a few weeks ago, he decided, wear that cross outside. He took the cross out, it was hanging there. And a woman walked up to him and said, that's a beautiful cross. Tell me about the church that you go to. Where is the church that you go to that has a cross like that? Oh, you didn't have to do anything. She came up to him and saw the cross and said, hey, look at that. So easy. So easy. A bumper sticker. You may say, I don't want to put a bumper sticker on my car, but when I want to resell it, make it nice. Okay. A bumper sticker, we have them in the hall. Put one in the back of your bumper. This is St. Elias with the website. When you're stuck in traffic and someone's sitting behind you, it'll remind you, of course, to drive like a Christian. And then second, because they'll report you to me, second, they see that and they can go onto their phone, which they're going to be doing anyway, give them something to look up on their phone, worthwhile in traffic. They look up our website. Oh, look at that. Right? Think of how easy that is. Do you have a cross on your front door of your house? So the people who walk by say, oh, wow, that's a Christian home. When they walk into your home, do they see holy images, icons, and crosses, and they say, this is a Christian home. These are the little things we can do. Little things. Very easy. And don't forget that if we don't do them now, if we don't make use of all of those wonderful little things the Lord has provided us to be able to do, someday you'll find you might not be able to do them. As in other countries today, it could happen here. It doesn't just happen in the Middle East. Think about Mexico. Cinco de Mayo. You know what that's all about, right? Killing the Christians. It's a Masonic revolution, and they killed the Christians. The priests, the nuns were lined up. They shot them all. It wasn't until recently, up until very recently, just a decade or two ago, that a priest or a nun could even wear any kind of religious symbol or habit in Mexico. Mexico, I think they're Catholic, aren't they? It was illegal. I don't know if they even made it legal. I think they just kind of loosened it up recently. But up until just a few decades ago, a priest could not wear clerics. A nun could not wear her habit in all of this country of Mexico. That's what Cinco de Mayo is all about. What about France? You guys know the story about what happened in France? France, what the West used to call the great daughter church, right? The daughter of the Western church, because the faith was so strong there in the West in France. Cathedrals all over the place. Every street and every city is a religious name. Well, you know about the French Revolution. All of the priests and the nuns that were killed, and all the horrible things they did at that time. And the faith there is basically dead, has been dead since then. Thank God it's been rejuvenated in France by immigrant Christians from Syria, Jordan, Palestine, places like that. Let's not let that happen in this country. Let's proclaim our faith like the myrrh-bearing women who went to the tomb, like the deacons who were called by the apostles to serve. On your daily walk, wherever you are, shine forth with the glory of the resurrection. Encourage those who are faint-hearted. Help the sick and the needy. And always carry with you a card from our church, so that you can, like David did on that day, pull a card out and hand it to them. And encourage them and welcome them. You might say, to our little church, St. Elias? Come on, who would want to go there? There are people who email me regularly saying, thank you so much for the information on your website, which is just simply the stuff we experience on a daily basis here on Sundays. Thank you for the music that is recorded there. I got an email from a lady on the East Coast who said, could you mail me a CD of the music that is on your website? I listen to it constantly. It's so beautiful. So we sent her a couple CDs. This is the music we're singing right here. A man down in Brazil emailed me and said, could you send me a few of the catechism books? I would like to learn how to become a Melkite. And I heard in one of your talks on the website, it was one of the homilies or something recorded, about them, but we have no way to get them. So I packaged them up and sent them off to him. He sent me a nice little email, thank you. He's going to translate them into Spanish or Portuguese and give them out. I know of a whole family who comes, you've met them on occasion, they come from Templeton. Do you know where Templeton is? 3-hour drive south of here. Pastor Robles, San Luis Obispo, there. You met them, the Nickets. Jason and Jessica Nickett, and they have some children here. They come a 3-hour drive whenever they can, and about once a month when they can afford to come up here. They would move up here if they could, but you know what the housing is like. I know of another family of about 10 members who are making plans right now to move here, this area, so they can become members of St. Elias. They live in Virginia. They're making arrangements right now. He's got his work and his job and teaches. He's going to work it out. So hopefully within about a year, he's here. With his whole family, they're going to move here. He came here once, experienced the liturgy, went back and said, that's it, we're moving. Why is that? Because of what you all do, what we do together. They walk into this church and experience something unique. Our church is unique. Unique. We have roots that go directly back to the Holy Land. Look around you. We have people here who were born in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, everywhere. What a unique gift we have to share. Please don't hold that gift like a little light under a basket. But take the basket off. Let the light shine. And share what we have here in St. Elias with the world out there that needs to hear it. Christ is risen. Amasiakam. Christos Anesti. Glory to His third day resurrection. We glorify His resurrection on the third day.